Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It is about to get easier to evict people in Massachusetts. During COVID, renters have had state and federal moratoria on evictions protecting them. So no legal evictions. That is until the state's moratorium expired in October. But even then, people have also been protected by this federal moratorium, sort of a second, larger protective umbrella. The thing is, that's set to expire on Saturday. Now, since the state moratorium expired last October, landlords have filed thousands of eviction cases in courts. So now those cases could proceed after Saturday, after the federal moratorium is lifted, for any renter who isn't actively applying for rental assistance. And that could be a lot of people. Is that confusing? Yes. So here to help us understand what is happening, what the stakes are for families, what the stakes are for our economy, we have two guests. Rachel Heller is the CEO of the Citizens Housing and Planning Association, and Doug Quattrocci is executive director of the organization Mass Landlords. Rachel, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here again.
And Doug, welcome back to you too.
Thank you, Tiziana. Good to be here. And hello, Rachel.
Hi, Doug.
All right. So I have a question, but before I start, Rachel, is that a fair description that we just gave to listeners about what's being lifted, what has been lifted, and who is going to be at risk after Saturday?
It is a fair description. The one headline I want to add is that there is a lot of money available and no one should be evicted right now for non-payment of rent.
Okay, so let's pick up on that last sentence you just said, Rachel. No one should be evicted right now for failure to pay rent, basically. I want to start there with the two of you. Do we have an agreed upon first principle in the Commonwealth right now, which is that the goal is to avoid evictions if at all possible? Doug, is that everyone's goal right now?
Of course. Yeah. Landlords don't want to lose customers. So we don't want to have to put anyone through the stress and trauma of an eviction because we lose the ability to provide housing because of that. So, yeah, we want to avoid all evictions.
And Rachel, your goal also, correct?
Absolutely. We do not want to see people evicted and are doing everything possible to advocate for resources, make sure that there are organizations that can help people, you know, in every community in the state.
Okay, so now there's one more explainy kind of thing that I want to put under the table before we talk further. So we talked about the fact that the state moratorium was lifted back in October. But since then, in the spring, state lawmakers passed a sort of protection, which basically says if you are a tenant who might be facing eviction, but you are applying for some kind of rental relief, then you are protected from that eviction going through. Is that accurate, Doug?
Yeah, if you're being evicted for non-payment. So it doesn't protect you if you've been terminated no fault. For instance, the landlord intends to renovate and they're just not renewing, and it doesn't protect you if there are lease violations. But yeah, if there's any kind of non-payment involved and that's why the case is being brought, then your case is paused while that application for rental assistance is being processed.
Okay, so Rachel, that means if you're the other two, right, lease violation or the landlord just doesn't want to have a tenant anymore, after Saturday, those evictions can go through, correct?
Those evictions can go through. I would say that there are still resources available for people to help them find other places to move.
Okay, so now let's start talking resources. I feel like we really had to kind of comb out what was going on and understand it, but let's start talking about the resources. Now, and Rachel, I'll come back to you, and let's start with that last thing you just said. What are the resources available to people who may need assistance finding some other place to live?
Well, the best place anybody can go when they need help with housing is their local Housing Consumer Education Center. So in Boston, that's Metro Housing Boston. This is the organization that administers all of the rental assistance programs that we're talking about and can also help with housing, with finding another apartment or home.
Okay. And then what are some other steps people can take? And let's stay on this needing a new place to live.
So in terms of conducting a housing search or actually accessing resources to help them with first and last month's rent and moving?
Let's do that one. Okay, accessing resources for first and last, those costs that are associated with obtaining a new place to live.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the great things about Massachusetts is that we do have a lot of excellent programs in place. And one program that has been in place for exactly this kind of situation and to prevent a family from going into homelessness is our program called RAFT, Residential Assistance for Families in Transition. Now, RAFT has become the program that people are going to for help through the pandemic. The program has changed during the pandemic, but the base of that program is still there. The legislature has provided funding for it, and it is there to help people who are in danger of losing their home, need to find another home. And so, again, accessing it through an organization like Metro Housing Boston, if you're in the Boston area, is a great way to get help.
And that is real financial assistance, correct, Rachel?
Yes, that is real financial assistance.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, Doug, what is the RAFT experience from the landlord's point of view?
Well, it's not great. For instance, a lot of landlords want to be able to help their renters get rental assistance because a lot of us, if we're impacted by the pandemic, we have too much else going on to be able to deal with the paperwork to get rental assistance. So if we happened to lease up in a landlord that owns 20 units or fewer in Massachusetts, the landlord can help us apply. But if we happen to lease up with a bigger landlord, currently it's not possible for the landlord to help you by applying for you.
Doug, I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. What does lease up mean when you say that?
What we're trying to get is landlords to actually apply for rental assistance. I probably shouldn't have said lease up, but the landlord is able to apply for rental assistance totally on behalf of a renter and continue a tenancy, even if the renter can't do anything other than just sign permission.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is help our renters get access to the assistance because that's how we can get paid. But there's this synthetic distinction where if you rent from a large landlord, that landlord's not allowed to help you apply for rental assistance to the extent of doing the application for you. So it's just a little bit of a, you know, Massachusetts is definitely leading the nation. We're one of the top 10 states consistently in the Census Household Pulse Survey in terms of helping people to afford rent. But there's a lot of strange decisions in the program that landlords don't understand. And landlords have to wait is the primary message here. In some cases, we got a landlord in Gardner who's been working through the process for 8 months. And it sounds impossible. How could it possibly be going on that long? But there are reasons why you get stuck in these loops and you just can't get out of them.
All right. So, Rachel, I'm going to come back to you in a minute. But first, Doug, I want to stay with you on one more thing here. I could imagine that there would be tenants who would be very uncomfortable with paperwork at all beyond what is absolutely necessary and with going through a landlord, for example, if they have undocumented status, for example, going through a landlord to give information to file for this rental assistance. Do we see that? And are there other resources available or are there other things that landlords can do to connect such tenants with assistance?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. That is a major issue that we are seeing. And I'll give an example. In May of this year, we asked the Department of Housing and Community Development, how many rental assistance applications did you close out for being incomplete because the renter didn't want to give their social security or acknowledge that they didn't have one because the renter didn't want to list how many kids they have because the renter may have a disability that prevented them from completing the detailed narrative required in this 13-page application, or excuse me, now it's down to 11 pages. And they closed out 5,453 cases in May, according to their public records response to us. That's 5,400 households that started to ask for help, but gave up because they didn't want to have to disclose their situation. They don't want to risk ICE getting wind of their not having a social and showing up. They don't want to list the kids that maybe the landlord doesn't know about because they're in some unlawful housing that should have a lead certificate. There's just a whole lot of problems in housing, and the rental application is kind of exposing a lot of those. And by our estimate, probably half of all the people who've applied since October of last year have not been able to get the rental assistance they asked for because of some paperwork burden.
So, Rachel, what do they do then?
Well, actually, I think this speaks very much to a need that we do have, and that's to work through more community-based organizations. This is actually happening around the state. We have examples like La Collaborativa in Chelsea, where they are working with people to find help, to apply for the help. And, you know, again, talking about Metro Housing Boston, just because we're talking, you know, we're in the Boston area, Metro Housing Boston is actually working with six different local community-based organizations. These are trusted networks, places where a person will go and ask for help. And then there's somebody there who can help them, who can help them with the application, understand what's needed, understand that immigration status is not even a question in the application. And I think it's really important that we invest more in local community-based organizations and give them more resources to be able to expand their capacity to meet the increasing need.
And Rachel, inform listeners, especially those who may be listening with this deadline looming over them on Saturday and worried, what types of financial assistance and what kind of orders of magnitude are we talking about for a given household?
The amount of assistance that's available now is very deep. There is actually not a limit on what a household could get. So a household who needs help, needs to pay the back rent through the entire pandemic, can get that covered. There's even stipends going forward at this point. Like Doug said, Massachusetts has been leading the nation in getting these federal rental assistance dollars out. Right now, well, actually, the state has been awarded over $760 million. About $200 million of those dollars has been spent. There are plenty more dollars available for anyone who is having trouble paying the rent right now.
So what's really striking me in talking to the two of you, we often have these conversations where we've really got landlords pitted on one side, tenants pitted on another. The two of you share an objective. You're being very collaborative. You're showing how the rental assistance can serve all parties involved. Are there other win-win solutions that are possible and that we need right now? And how do we get there? Just briefly, Doug.
Sure. I think the number one thing that we could be working on would be to bring the housing safety net to the level of the employment safety net. And even though we all experienced a lot of problems with the unemployment insurance process back when the pandemic first hit, the basic idea is employers have to report on a regular basis that they've hired someone within 30 days of hiring, so that if that person loses their job, they can access unemployment assistance. And we don't have anything like that in housing. It would be really helpful if landlords could say, hey, I started a tenancy here. Here's the address, here are the tenants, here's their application, so that if anything happens to them, the state already has, or the regional administrator already has, a database to go and look at and say, okay, yep, this is a real person. They were reported 8 months ago. They're eligible for rental assistance within a week because basically all the paperwork's done.
How about you, Rachel? First, do you agree with that? And in a sentence, what else?
Well, I think that what really needs to be done, we have a few things, and we have some great opportunities right now with more federal resources that have come to Massachusetts, the ARPA dollars, the Rescue Plan Act. So some of our top asks out of that is fully supporting the governor's proposal, which is all about creating more affordable housing, which is ultimately the answer, but also funding right to counsel. So what we find is when a lot of people, most, it's well over 90% of people are going to court to fight an eviction, they don't have representation. And so we, through the Eviction Diversion Initiative, there is a pilot right now where people can get legal representation. That needs to be a standard. And then again, providing more funds for community-based organizations. And then I think record sealing is a really important thing to think about, because when evictions are filed, it doesn't mean that the household is going to be evicted. In fact, that might be a point of time where they get the financial help they need. However, they do still have this mark on their record, and that can follow them when they do look for apartments in the future.
Okay. All right. And Rachel, you've given us some resources that we're putting on our website, correct?
That's right. Thank you.
Okay. So our website, folks, is radioboston.org. We'll have some resources there. That's Rachel Heller. She is the CEO of the Citizens Housing and Planning Association. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Doug Quattrocci, Executive Director of the organization Mass Landlords. Doug, thanks to you as well.
Tiziana, thanks so much.